Blog Talk Radio.
Not really on board with what God is teaching.
As we open up with prayer, we'll get into our very commercial subjects about the process of where we are and who we are here at Harvest New Life Church. But let us open up, first of all, and just dedicate out this time to Christ as we go forth in this word. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We give you the opportunity to come into our lives as we hide ourselves behind the cross. Lord, use us in the way that you see fit. Let your word come forth. Let it proceed everything that comes in the kingdom. Father God, we check down and shut down every unchecked spirit, every soothsaying word. We loose it in the name of Jesus. We declare that the power of the word, the power of the Holy Spirit be with us as we go forth and decree this word that comes from the kingdom. Father God, give us revelation. Give us revelatory revelation. Meaning, give us going forth revelation as we receive that which you have us on this afternoon. Lord, we declare the word that has got to go forth. Your word is decreed that it will not go back void, but it has the power to accomplish all that therein. These things we ask are not of ourselves, but of the power of the Most High God. We decree it. We call it in play. We put it into check, Father God, as we put into the third heaven, that it will go forth, and we know it will not come back void. But it will, according to it, have all the power to accomplish all that therein. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, amen. Once again, as I said, I'm Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, Texas. For those of you who are coming in by internet, we want you to go to the website called harvestnewlifechurch.com. That's www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. As you go to the website, once you go to service and schedules, go midway down in the middle of what says schedule and services, you'll see a sign saying Power of the Harvest, Blog Talk Radio. Click on that icon. It'll bring you into the Flash chat room where you don't really have to come online. You can type all your information in. And also for those who want to join us live, you can come in the radio station and actually call in. There's a number we have. It's 347-637-1074. Once again, that number is 347-637-1074. At the end of every one of our service, we always offer a word of salvation. We always offer word for those who want to be saved and give their life to Christ. Anybody who don't have a church home, we welcome you to come out and be with us here at Harvest New Life Church. I ask that you give me a call and let me know that you're going to be showing up and you just want to come over and be with us. The number you can reach me at is 214-870-2146. That's a personal church line number. You can call me there if there's any other indication that you don't want to speak about on the line or bring forth to my attention concerning the service tonight. But other than that, we want to move forward. I want to thank God all the time for my co-host, co-pastor Patty Ellis, for being with us tonight. She's running a little late because she's bit my daughter, and we love her to be in the studio because she learns a lot when she's by here with us. But we thank for everybody that's been on the line with us tonight. We decree the word of God has got to go forth. It will not go void. It's not accomplished in everything he said it's going to do. We want you to sit back and hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say concerning God's church. I want to take your Bibles. I want you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. I clear my throat here. And we're going to read some information. We're going to break some information up. But we want to read this. We want to hear just what the Lord has to say concerning what he's speaking to his disciples in the point where they're going to be moving to in this area of the ministry as they go forth. It's always good to understand and know who you are in Christ and know where you stand in Christ when opposition comes at you, because the Word of God does declare it's a lot of stuff that's floating around out there, and you got to know how to pull it down. You got to know your word. You got to be able to be, you got to know your word inside and out. In other words, can't nothing come and shake your faith. And this is how it happens in the lives of most people. When they say certain things, their faith gets shaken, because they don't understand and realize that Christ has got a plan for their life. He's got a decree for their life. And everything he's got to tell them and do for them has got to go forth. But he has to get you right first, for you receive all that he has in store for you. So our job is to shake the word. And we're going to shake up everything, and everything loose is not a part of the kingdom. So we're going to start over in the book of Matthew chapter 16. We're going to take our time, and this is going to be a very strict teaching tonight, because we want to get into some stuff. We want you to hear what the Word of God has to say concerning this word tonight. It's going to bring good revelation to you, but I want you to hear the increments of everything that goes on concerning the study. Well, over in chapter 16, verse 6, it says, Jesus said unto them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have not taken bread. Right there, you see they lost already, but God is finna check them. Jesus is finna check them, get them to understand. He says on the 8th verse, he said, which when Jesus perceived that he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why you reason among yourselves, because ye have bought no bread. Now we got to look at this real close. Now, when I say this, I want you to look at it real close, because they taking it at a whole different disadvantage. Jesus is not speaking about physical bread. The word of God does declare, when we're talking about that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. God don't want to let you just have the physical bread. That what goes into the belly. God needs the word to go, the bread that goes into your spirit. And when the disciples caught this word, they began to reason and doubt. They began to be discombobulated, confused, because Jesus spoke a lot of parables. It's really just putting knots up beside the head. They didn't understand. They were like the three stooges. They were clunking their heads together. But Jesus began to proceed to them in the 9th verse. He said, do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves? Now, he told them, do you not remember and understand the 5 loaves? He's beginning to tell them that the bread that was given to them was a kingdom blessing. It was something that came from the kingdom. It was nothing they bought on their own. In other words, the miracles with the 5 loaves and the fish, with the bread and the fish that the young lad had, and Jesus began to multiply it and fed the 5,000, they did not have what they needed at hand to feed that multiplication of people, that many people. And what Pastor Ellis is saying right here, their situation, you get into it, it don't seem like you know how to get out of it financially, physically, or spiritually. But God has got a plan, according to Jeremiah 29:11. It may not look from the physical standpoint that you're able to do it, but God said if you can dig down in your faith and believe and declare and decree the word that there's nothing too hard for him to do, he will make miracles happen in such a way that will just mesmerize you. He goes on and says in the 9th verse, and I'll read that again, do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up. Now, Jesus is talking about the overflow here. Not only would I bless you with what you need in the physical, but the kind of overflow I give you would be a kingdom overflow. It ain't just by bread alone. It's by the word that I give you so much wisdom, so much knowledge, so much understanding, so much guidance, so much of everything you need to make your life just where I need it to be. Because you chose me first, and when you chose me first, then I chose you. And you became a friend of mine. Not only a friend, you became my partner. When you're my partner, I give you everything you need. Now, when you gain favor with me, and when you gain favor with God, I'm telling you, man and woman, God will give you favor with anybody. When the creditors say no, God says yes. They don't understand how it's going to happen. This is kind of the same situation that happened with the disciples. It's almost like me and you went out to buy a house, and we didn't understand that we can get the house, or we didn't understand we can get the car, or we couldn't get the loan, but we weren't applying for it. And later on, they said, no, we couldn't get the loan. But then they called back again and said, we feel like we want to go. That wasn't you. That wasn't they. Look, they over. It was the Lord showing you that he's got the power to overtake, to transform, to change, to flip the script on whatever they say. He's got the means to do that. You're aching in your body. You got pain in your body. You got pain anywhere. You got a situation going on in your life. You got to believe and declare a decree by the word of God that when the doctor speaks, that's not God's report. The word of God says in Isaiah 53, who has believed that report? And what makes it so bad, he said, who are the arms of that report being revealed? Meaning, who told you that? If it didn't come from the kingdom, you got to believe by his stripes that you already healed. But this is one thing about it. The medical profession is there for a reason. God just didn't give the man all the knowledge they need to be able to cut on you, to open you up, to give you medicine, to make you better in the position you're in. What he's telling you is that don't too much trust on the pills that you're taking. But, you know, the pills you'll take, but it's God to give the healing. You got to trust God for the healing. I remember my mother used to tell me, always pray over your medicine, because you can't just depend on the pill alone. Am I talking to somebody? You can't just depend on the physical bread alone. The Bible said it's the word of God that has you to grow. It's the word of God that enables you to multiply. It's the word of God that enables you to have the favor among what's disfavored in the eyesight of man. Am I talking to somebody? I want to move on to the 10th verse, and it says, neither the 7 loaves of the 1,000 and how many baskets were taken up. Listen to this. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye take up. Meaning it was an overflow. That's going to understand. How is it that you not understand that I speak it not to you concerning the bread? I'm not talking to you about the bread. See, this is what happens sometimes.
We get caught up too much on the physical and God trying to show us the spiritual. The word of God declares over in Galatians 5 and 16 to walk in the spirit. Did you not fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh? This is what's going on here. They got a fleshly vision rather than a spiritual vision. One thing I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, your mind will never mirror something that you can't receive. If you can't see it, you won't receive it. If you can't see yourself being healed, then you won't be healed. If you can't see yourself having what you need in your life to be able to sustain you in such a way that you live pleasurable and more abundantly, then it won't happen. People who bicker, complain all the time will not see what God has in store for them. In other words, it's not that God don't want to give it to you. He just got to build your faith. And sometimes circumstances come against you not to hurt you, but it comes to help you. But he wants you to dig down in your faith and declare and decree that everything you need is in the kingdom of God. So he goes on to tell them over in the 11th verse, how is it that you do not understand that I speak unto you concerning bread? I'm not speaking to you concerning bread. That you should not beware, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Let me say something right there. The reason the Word of God is giving you wisdom, he wants you to pray to him and understand the way he's guiding you and taking you. He don't want you to get carnal understanding. He wants you to get spiritual understanding that when you need something in your life, you ask your Heavenly Father. Everything you need is in the kingdom. Let me make it a little simplified. God is giving you the ability to understand that there's nothing too hard for him to do. But it comes to your faith and your belief. The reason Abraham got and gained what he gained because he was a man that believed. He trusted God. Am I talking to somebody? He believed, because he trusted, he had faith. Because he believed. Abraham was counted on faith. He believed God. He was counted. But we as men and women, God, we have, see, if it might sound a little horrific to some people, those who are stuck in the religious stuff and don't understand the problem and the power of God was able to do. See, Abraham didn't have sonship. Am I explaining this to somebody? Abraham was counted for righteousness. Does it make it clear to anybody? We have sonship. We have the covenant. We have the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, I wouldn't want what Abraham had. Even though he was counted as the father of many nations, we are counted by the blood. We're covered under the blood. Whether we mess up, whether we go bad, whether we go to the left, go to the right, we're still covered. Not so with Abraham. He was covered. The man was called because he believed. He was counted by faith. He believed God. And he tried to walk his life as straight as he needed to walk it. But we as being men of God who stumble through life, have situations, have proclivities, have problems, have shortcomings, God still sent his son as a representation that when he died on the cross, that even when we mess up, even when we jack our own life up, God is still giving us grace to where we just call to God and say, Abba, Father God, forgive me for my sins. And we are forgiven. The word he's bringing to the Pharisees here, to the disciples here, excuse me, he's talking about the Pharisees. Jesus is pretty much saying, I'm going to paraphrase this a little while for you to get a simplified understanding. Jesus is almost telling them, as long as you walk with me and all the miracles you saw me perform, do you still not perceive that what I'm able to do through the power of the Father who sent me? In other words, you being my 12 and one being one to do is Judas Iscariot, I want you to understand one thing. When you get in the presence of these Pharisees, these teachers, these Sadducees, these Sanhedrins, they're going to have the letter, but they're not going to have the spirit. I come in a whole new different package. I come in a whole new different revelation. I'm trying to show you something that will surpass all man's understanding. In other words, the Pharisees were supposed to have been the preachers of the church. They're supposed to have been the ones in the synagogue. They're supposed to have been the ones who represented the letter, which was called the Torah. They were supposed to guide people in the righteous understanding the way they're supposed to go, but all they had was a letter. Jesus is saying, I'm coming on the scene with a whole new different package. I'm coming with a whole new different plan. I'm coming with power and grace. I'm coming through the unction of the power of the Holy Spirit that even when you mess up in life, that even when it seems like things are not going right for you, I got the ability that you just fall on your knees and call out to me, and I'll deliver you for whatever it is that you're in. He's telling the disciples over here in the 9th verse, how is it you do not understand? We're in Matthew 16:11 for those who are just coming on the scene. Matthew 16:11, he said, how is it you do not understand that I speak not to you concerning bread? that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Let's move forward. In the 12th verse, then understanding, they howled, they bidded them not, how or where the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees. Let's look at it again. Then understood they how that he bidded them not beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He bidded them. He said, I bid them not beware, to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. In other words, Jesus said, but the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Look out for these cats. Let me tell you something about modern day Pharisees, and they still living today. There are people who don't believe in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are people who believe in only certain parts of the Bible. And you know, the Bible says a whole 66 books. You got to believe in the whole word. They're all 66 books. In other words, when we look at the Old Testament, it's a type. It's a type of shadow of what's to come. The word of God declares in James 1, he said, the word was and word was with. You look at Genesis 1, God spoke everything off the throne in existence to what it can be. The same thing he said, I'm sending forth my son in cloven skin, that he's going to walk among you here on earth. In other words, the word's going to walk right with you. According to the word of God over in Hebrews 12, he said that he's going to be the author and the finisher of your faith. In other words, whatever you're dealing, whatever you're going through, I'm going to show you through this man of God who I sent as the last sacrificial lamb to prove to you that what he's going to do, everything he has, comes from the Father. Let me show you something as we stay right here in the book of Matthew. I'm going to flip back here in a minute. I want to line this thing up because I want you to get a revelation of what God is saying. I want you to go to the book of John 14, you comedy, those who come on the station. Comedy hear me use this quite a bit and all the time. Let's go over to John 14. We're going to stay right there in the book of Matthew 16 and 12. We're going to go back. But we want to go over right now to John 14. 10 through 12. And I want you to hear this really closely. And how God is really putting his son on display, and his son is putting his father on display to prove to you that the work that he come to do is not of himself. He come to do the work of the one who sent him. Am I talking to somebody? See, you can't unscramble eggs. Can I talk to somebody this afternoon? Jesus said over in St. John 14 and 11, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. In other words, the Father's going to do the work. Jesus said, if you don't believe me in the Father in me, believe me for the works that I do. If you have no understanding about what I'm doing, if you don't understand a smidgen of what's going on, look, check me out as I heal the man with the withered hand. Check me out as I heal the woman, Jairus' daughter, who's been dead. Watch me as I raise Lazarus from the dead. Come on, somebody. Watch me as I begin to heal this woman with the issue, but when I deal with the Syrophoenician woman. Don't believe in me. I'm just a monument, according to Amos 3 and 7. I'm just the man of God who sent as the Immaculate Conception to do the work that God called me to do. The word of God does decree and does declare over in the book of Amos 3 and 7. I don't bring a word into the land unless it's revealed through the prophet. What is he saying? Jesus is going to show you, according to Hebrews 12, that I am the author, I am the finisher of your faith. I'm going to show you everything that you need to be done and how to depend on the one who sent me. Because after a while, I got to go away. I got to go to a place, and I got to sit on the right-hand side of my Father. But I'm going to leave you a comforter. One is more powerful. One is more able to deliver you from whatever it is that you deal. I don't care what you're going through this night, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care if you're stuck on crack. I don't care if you're stuck on prostitution. I don't care if you're doing a lustful spirit. I don't care if you got a problem in your family. I don't care if you got a problem with your wife. I don't care if you got a problem with your husband. Children going crazy, running all over the place. You got the power to speak a word over and according to Romans 4 and 17 and call things. God has made you a little God. But you got to have to believe and declare the creed that whatever you speak in your mouth has got to come to full fruition. I want to slow down because I want to get this teaching out. I don't want to get the spirit to moving too quick. But Jesus goes on and says, and stay in John 14 for a minute, in the 11th verse. He says in the 11th verse, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. He goes on in the 12th verse and says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall I do. The works that I do, shall he do also. He's telling you right there. Now, the word of God don't lie. Now, according to Isaiah 55:11, the word of God don't go back void. Let's bring it on back to the Old Testament. Let's take it back to number 23:19-21. Am I God that I shall lie? When Jesus spoke of his Father, letting you know and understand that you're going to do greater works as he go, you're going to believe it's going to happen. See, it's nothing never wrong with the word. It's you. Well, let's take it over to John 15. Go over to John 15, right next, right one page over. Jesus goes on and says, right here in John 15, I want to break this up because I want to get back to Matthew. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, if you believe in God, that bringeth forth fruit, he taketh away. That bringeth not forth fruit, excuse me, he taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit, he prunes. Am I talking to somebody? When you understand that you're with Christ and you're going out to be a beacon system as a representation of the kingdom, the Bible said, I'll draw all men unto me. God has declared according to Jeremiah 1 and 5, before I formed you, I knew you. It ain't nothing that you can't do. Let me say it like this. You have been genetically engineered to do the job. The enemy has no bearing over what God can do in your life. People complain about the finances. Jesus said, ain't no problem with that. People complain about the shortcomings on their mortgage. Jesus said, ain't no problem with that. Complain about pain in their body. Jesus said, ain't no problem with that. I can give you a scripture, a plethora of scriptures of everything Jesus claimed in this word that's got the power to back it up. But he says on down in John 15, he says in verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken. If he spoke this word and declared his word according to the kingdom, that you are clean according to the word, baby, you got to believe it. The Bible said to him that believe all things. He didn't say something, say all things are possible to him that believe. As we go back to the book of Matthew, I want you to see this here, because we got to understand where this scripture is coming from, what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples in the midst as you get among these what you call Pharisees, people who don't believe. People don't quite line up the word of God. It's not that they don't believe, they're inquisitive. In other words, the word of God's inquiring minds want to know. And what you got to do as man of God, you got to do CSI in the spirit. You got to break the word down and tell them everything that they need that they come to be a believer. See, when you're a man of God, a woman of God, a man of God, you got to ought to break people down and get them to understand there's no other way that you can go. I remember the story that happened with Oprah Winfrey, the one of the young ladies was in the stand. She said, Oprah Winfrey said, it got to be another way you can go. No, she said, there ain't but one way. You got to go through the Son to get to the Father. If there's any other way you're going to go through, I don't know where that way is. It might be hell, but you got to go through the Son to get the Father. Jesus declared over in John 14, you got to believe in me. If you don't believe me that the works that I do. I mean, when you see me do the works, you're going to have to believe in the one who sent me. Just the same thing goes with you. When God starts showing miracles and favor in your life, and you start giving testimonies, meaning words that come out of your mouth, start speaking it, people are going to be believing. If he done it for one, he'll do it for you. Jesus trying to get the Pharisees to understand, everything that I taught you the time you was with me, look, don't get among these Pharisees, these letterhead people, these ones that want expanded garments, they want to look good, but Paul said like dead man bones, they like whitewashed tomb, but they're like dead man bones. They got something on the inside, but they got nothing on the outside. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to come to the point that in your life and where we're going right now in time, you're going to have to believe that God has got the power to deliver you whatever proclivity that you're going through, whatever subvert you're dealing with. God has got the power to mend you and heal you and bring you out. I don't care if you tore up from the floor up and need a checkup from the head up. God can bring you out of whatever you're in. All you got to do is be able to believe in his word. The Bible says, him that believe all things. And he makes that thing very plural. He said everything. I don't care what it is. What seems to be impossible, God can make it possible. I don't care if you're a person stuck on crack, cigarettes, drinking, doing lust or whatever it may be, prostitution, dealing with heart condition. God said, I got one-step programs over here. But it's going to take a believer to believe that everything I'm going to do. Jesus goes on to declare over in the 12th verse again. He said, then understand they how that he biddeth them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees. I tell you, them brothers can whip up some stuff. All they did was fight Christ in the day he was here. All you're going to get is fights. When you become a part of the kingdom and understand that you gave your life totally to Christ, that he says in Romans 8:19, if you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, the enemy going to come at you. The reason he come at you, he's going to come at you of your past. And the reason he come at you in your past, you hadn't laid the axe to every root to try to hold you back. So what? You was a person to deal with multiple relationships. So what? You a person to deal with fornication. So what? You a person to deal with all these obscurity things that people look down on you about. God said, according to 2 Corinthians 4, 5:17, he said, you are cleansed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Everything and all things are passed away. There's nothing too hard for him to do. God can bring you out of whatever that you're in. But your mind, if it's so shallow that it can't go deep,
You're going to have a problem. That's why Jesus told him during the storm. Peter stepped out and said, Lord, it be you bid me to come out on the water. Peter had to go to a deeper revelation. He had to step out and understand, I'm going to take a chance at it. One thing I learned about Peter, he's a go-getter. He didn't have. We need more Peters in the kingdom of God. I believe I'm a Peter. And I tell people all the time, I'm a pastor, but don't talk crazy to me. I will hurt you, but I'll heal you. I don't play up over here at Harvest House. I ain't got time for games. And one thing I will tell you all the time, you got to stand in faith. You got to stand in the midst of what we call adversity. When things are going to come at you, pound at you, break you down, you got to stand firm in the midst of the storm. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego say, he was right there with me. The Spirit declared to say, as a matter of fact, when Nebuchadnezzar looked at him, he said, I don't see three, but I see four. When you're going through, you got to know that the Son of Man is right there with you, whatever you're going through. I don't care what kind of heartache you're having. As I said before, if whatever your problem may be, I don't care what it may be, if you can believe that through God everything and all things are possible, you got it made. Because now it's your faith that brings you through. Let's move on. It says over in Matthew 16, for those who just come, I see the lines are firing up, for Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Now, we talk about Caesarea Philippi. It was kind of ways off from the Jesus early journey. When you study the word of God about Jesus, when he came in Caesarea Philippi, it was really Jesus' ministry. This is the farthest Jesus' ministry went northern of the northern county. Let me give you a little history about that before we go into it, because I want to understand this. Caesarea Philippi was a city off the coast. As I think about this, the notes, I've been studying this thing before, that it was a city of Caesarea, northern of Palestine, on the south slopes of Mount Hermon. In other words, the city was a pagan city of worshipers. In other words, they worshipped the Greek deity Pan. Herod decided to build a temple there. In other words, a temple there in honor of Caesar. Philippi was about 25 north of the Sea of Galilee. In other words, this is probably the farthest Jesus ever went out in his ministry, going that northern part of that particular hemisphere in which he was in Israel. But I want you to see something. When he came over in verse 13, Matthew 16 to 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Whom do they say that the Son of Man am? Now I'm going to flip it up again. Whom do they say that I am? Whom do man say that the Son of Man is? In other words, Jesus is probing them. Of all the times he came from verse 6 about he beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, we're at 13 and 6, he's beginning to tell them right now. It's almost like you're getting the team ready. We're going to go into the stadium. Now, y'all know how y'all practice. Y'all know y'all game. Y'all know what kind of jersey you wear. Don't get out here and get twisted. We're going to go into a region where it's going to be heavy, it's going to be thick, the things are going to be going on. You know what jersey you have on. Let me make it a little plainer for those who play sports and those who don't play sports. In other words, when you walk in a certain arena, and there's thousands of people all around the arena looking at those different jerseys on the floor, there's a defensive game and there's an offensive game. We all understand that. I ain't going to make it hard for you. You as a player on the court can't be worried about the people in the stands. No, the Pharisees are what you call the people in the stands. They're the ones going to mock you and talk about you because of the kind of jersey you got on. You can't worry about people, two or three people who don't like your jersey. Your job is to understand that you've been trained to do a job when you get on the court. And when you get on the court, you got to perform the best of your ability, win or lose. You got to carry out your assignment. And this is what God is telling them. When we go into this area of Caesarea, I want you to understand, look out for these Pharisees. Look out for their doctrine. I want you to understand that you are my disciples, so I'm going to test you. In other words, I'm going to test my members of my church. I'm going to test the people who actually say they love God, they love Christ. Not to test you to hurt you, but I'm going to throw a word at you. When we talk about salvation at the end of our services, we all give people opportunity to come to salvation. If you really say you love God, you'll receive salvation as many times you can. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes your testimony can help somebody else who's been unencouraged to come in and receive a testimony of Christ and believe that Christ can deliver them out of whatever it is. When you put that jersey on, when you put that cloak on, it's not with spot or wrinkle. And if there's spots up under the jersey we're staying through, God said, I can push you right back in the wash cycle. And it takes you right over to Psalm 51. The Lord said, wash me. Wash me whiter than snow. Put in me a new heart. That was David's word. one of the most powerful repentant prayers in the Bible, Psalm 51. He said, create in me a new heart. In other words, when you come into Christ, you got to understand what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in, you got to be in. You can't be straddling the fence. You can't be a John, James 1:8. You can't be double-minded and expect to receive all the blessings and inheritance that God has in store for you. You cut your own blessings off by your disobedience. Because God already declared his word over in Numbers 23:19-21, I don't lie to you. He already said in Isaiah 55:11, my word won't go void. He already said in Isaiah 58:8, that my ways and your ways are far from heaven for the earth. When you don't understand that you can't get no way around where God is trying to take you, you'll end up bumping your head against the wall. And people who want to see keep bumping their head against the wall, the word of God declared that you got to be like a tree, according to Psalms 91, that's planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves all should not wither. Leaves mean that you ain't going to get all messed up with a James 1:8. You ain't going to be baffled and double-minded. That when you produce fruit according to John 15, you're going to flourish. Your branch is going to prune good stuff. You ain't going to be half dead out there running into something, and every time you get out, you just wither away. But Jesus said you got to be planted by the rivers of water. That's the Holy Ghost that brings forth his fruit in the season. And your leaves or whatever God has put in you should not perish, meaning that God is telling you, according to Jeremiah 1:5, everything I put in you has got to come forth. The only way the word is not going to come forth in you, you're the only one going to stop it. He decreed the word and declared, we just read it to you over in John 15:3. The word has made you clean. Anytime you mess up and things going bad in your life, it ain't got nothing to do with Christ. The word of God declares over in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek me first the kingdom, and then everything you need I'll be adding unto you. But first your confession got to become made, according to Romans 10:8-9. Get your mouth on it, because Christ is calling you, according to Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Now, he's not telling you to give any excuses, because when you accept Christ, he's going to clean you up. Anybody try to clean themselves up, I guarantee you run into a problem. You ain't got the ability to clean yourself up. So many people, we and my wife witnessed to, people say, well, I got to get some clothes. God ain't concerned about your clothes. I ain't never seen a Hartwell suit or no high heels or no stilettos or no suit or whatever anyway. Your heart is what God wants. He don't want your garment. He wants your heart. Don't get it twisted. You ain't got to hold off from anything. Anytime you put off the word of God, God's in your heart and in your heart. The Bible said, the day you hear my word, he said, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. I'm going to stop right here at verse 14, because I want Co-Pastor Patty to come in and shine light on this. She's always shining light on something beautiful in the service, and she just... I mean, I can't do nothing without a co-pastor Patty, you know, my beautiful sidekick in the ministry. She's always got something beautiful to say. Co-pastor Patty, let me get you fired up here and get you to come on in, because I know you have something that you got to bring to us. Going to get her fired up here in just a second, and she's going to come. There you go. There you go. Co-pastor.
Amen. I was thinking about I was thinking about a couple things when we were going through the scripture of Matthew 16. There's such a division of who God is, who our Father is. And it's giving us some examples of there's us, or let's just say that even more narrowed down, there's me and there's God. Look at the difference. God is all powerful. God is the leader in our life. He's our heavenly Father. Jesus was saying that if you don't believe what I'm doing, just look at what's coming through the Father. And that's what we have to do in our life. The pastor was talking about how just look at your own individual lives, of how God is looking. Maybe you're not where you want to be in life right now, but God knows where you are, and God knows where you need to be. And he just wants you to continue to follow. But look at the things that have happened in your own life, the miracles that have taken place. I think we all can name one or two miracles, or maybe even many, many more. Or the things that God has done for each one of us, that when we get to those points where maybe our faith is wavering a little bit. Go back to your life. Look at what God has done in the past. That'll continue to bring you to where He wants you to be. God just wants you to follow His direction. God wants us to do His work. Just as Jesus was doing His work, you know, we're all followers. We're all His servants. And He wants us to go ahead and say, look, just look at what I'm doing in your life. Even those times that are hard, even though the times that are maybe others around you are doubting where you're going in life, maybe they're questioning, why are you living for God? You know, why are you doing that? That's no fun. But as servants, you see, as you continue just to plug away each and every day and you get in the Word and you learn more and you learn more and you learn more, you'll see how the faith comes and you'll become a stronger spiritual person. And you'll start carrying yourself differently because that's God working through you. And that's what Jesus is telling us. This is God. This is our Heavenly Father working through me. And that's what we're called to do as servants. Continue to still let the Father work in you. Amen?
Amen. 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 You know, when she says what she's saying, she speaks so candid about such, you know, you don't have to get way up there. You don't have to go off on a limb. You don't have to break out Webster's. You know, Jesus' word is designed to keep you at a level of understanding. You know, it's not by your words like, hey, Apollo. Does that make sense to anybody? You don't have to be an Obama-type speaker. Jesus' word is so plain that anybody can understand it. Anybody can understand it. If it's coming out of the mouth of the person who really know how to spring through the Spirit. He goes on and says, some things as he gets farther and in depth. He wants the disciples to look, this thing is not nothing to play with. You got to know, can we enter into a time now, you got to know who I am. You have to know what you were taught. He says over in the 14th verse, listen to this real quickly, real good. I mean, I want you to get hold of this. Let me start in the 13. Now, he warned them in the 11th verse. We saw in the 11th verse how that you do not understand. He told them in the 9th verse how you do not understand. He's talking to them. You know what Jesus is telling them? I told you in the 9th verse. There are some people going to come at you. It's not for me. They don't like me because I'm bringing something greater into the land. I'm bringing something greater into your spirit. I'm going something greater to what you can rely on. He's telling them in the 6th verse, look, take heed. And he begins to break it down to them about the process, about the loaves and how he fed the 5,000. And what he was getting them to understand that this was something that happened supernatural. Did nobody bake no bread in this? Everything you had came from the kingdom on my word. And not only did it come from the kingdom on my word and fed the 5,000, look, you took up about 12 baskets. You had overflow. What are you saying, Pastor Ellis? When God gives you a word, it doesn't matter how it look in your life. The Bible said, if I can believe, that's the thing that's possible. Your belief system, how you cater to Christ without having anything derogatory to get in the midst of what God is taking you. When you allow negative people to come in, guess what? Time versus time. What you spend with time the most is what you're going to become. Can I speak to somebody? In other words, what you feed the most is what's going to grow. If you hang around spicy people, spicy language, guess what? That's what you're going to spit out. The Bible said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the belly, it flows. You put good in, good come out. In other words, whatever you plant is going to grow. You plant negative language, guess what? It's going to come back. You treat people, am I talking to somebody? It's going to come back on you. It ain't no sense you run around the corner worried about what somebody does. You know, the Bible says, order in 1 Corinthians 11:23, look, check yourself. First, let a man, look, you got to look at you. And see where you messing up at. He first let man examine himself and to see if he got himself lined up right. And since you point your finger at the preacher, and since you point your finger at the deacon, and since you point your finger at a member in the church, no, look at you. You check yourself out. When you understand that you checked out, then you may have the ability to go ahead and check somebody else with the word, because now they look at you in the way you walk. But if you wishy washy, if you are Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. When you're with your buddies, you're one thing. When you're around the church, you're something else. See, God don't need no bozos in the house. When we were living in a time now, God needs solid people to walk in the Word. Do the same thing in the house of God. Do the same thing in the mission field. Do the same thing in the store. Do the same thing with your friends. You're a missionary. You're designed to bring forth the Word. The Word is genetically engineered in you. You can't be in sometime and out. You can't be, in other words, you can't be hot and cold. You're not talking to somebody. The Bible says bitter and sweet, they must come out of the same fountain. You can't be lukewarm. You say, I'll spill you out. You're going to be hot or you're going to be cold. You're going to be with God or you're going to be against God. It ain't no two ways about it. Well, no, ain't no well about it. If you don't get on your knees and understand what the Word of God is telling them right here in this 13th verse of Matthew 16 and 13, he said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, when you come in to the houses and the people that you come around, when you come in to confront some, it ain't got to be the coast of Philippi. It ain't got to be the coast of Caesarea. Whenever you come in the environment, you got to know that the environment can taint you. In other words, you got to know how to separate yourself from things that will cause you to inhabit bad habits or to take on bad habits. You got to move yourself from the equation. Did anybody understand mathematics here? You know, minus is minus, plus is plus. But you got to know where to put the plus if you're going to gain, and you got to know how to put the minus if you're going to gain as well. In other words, sometimes the minuses out of your life, you can gain. But some of the pluses in your life, you can gain. If your plus is with Christ, you're going to gain. If the plus is getting the negative piece out of your life, you're still going to gain with Christ. Am I speaking to somebody? You got to realize now that we live in a time, you got to know who you are in Christ. And the Word of God says, if any man be in him, he's a new creature. All old things, it got to pass away. Am I God that I should lie? Or am I son of a man that I should got to repent? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that from this day forward, that whatever is in your life and whatever is going on in your life, the Word declares, is it anything? Look, all you got to pull up in your Bible, Jeremiah 32 and 17, is there anything too hard for God to do? And he says in Isaiah 11, 55, my word won't go void. He comes right back, and I can give you a plethora of scriptures on God's fact and what he's saying. He told you right there in John 15 and 3, it's the Word that's going to make you clean. And if you can't understand that, then it's a problem. And if you got a problem, then you need to go back to Romans 12 and 2. Get your mind right. When you can get that right, then you can receive things the way God wants you to have them. The Bible says your mind has got to be transformed in Romans 12 and 2. He's already calling you to the kingdom. He already knows what's in you. He already knows you got a beacon system in you for what God told you in Jeremiah 1 and 5. Before I formed you, I knew you. I knew what I put in you. You're just too stubborn to let it come up out of you. So what, you're going to lose some friends? So what, you're going to lose some stuff? Who cares? But if your life is planted in the kingdom, I'm not talking to anybody this afternoon. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All the old things have passed away. Jesus come at these brothers right here in Matthew 16 and 14. He said, let's get the increments of that. And he said, to some say that thou art John. This is what they, and some, who was the some? And some say that they are John, the Baptist. Some Elijah, okay, and others, Jeremiah. They're confused. They messed up. We're not worried about how you prove what others say. We want to know, and Jesus, get out to the nitty-gritty in the 15th verse, Jesus said to them, but who do you say I am? Don't worry about what Johnny and them say. Don't worry about what Mike and them say. Don't worry about what Dorothy and them say. Don't worry about Wendy and them say. God said, look, you got a personal relationship with me. Who do you say I am? I don't need your excuses. Or Pastor Ellis this, or Co-Pastor Patty that, or a John this, or John that. No, God said, who do you say I am? You can put a label on anybody. But the God said, if you can't check yourself, how are you going to check somebody else? Then if you ain't got self right, how are you going to put a line on somebody else? Who do you say I am? And if you believe who I say I am, then you got the ability to be cleansed from everything in your life. You got to be able, you got the power through the power of revelation of God to be cleansed from every problem that's in your life. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? God is trying to show you that if you know who I am, then everything and all things are possible. Well, he goes on in the 16th verse, and he rewards Peter for his diligence, for his revelation. And he says, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of what? The living God. God said, the living God. Ain't no dead God. God will do the same thing that he did for Peter. He'll do the same for you. He did the same thing he did for Jairus' daughter. He'll do it for you. He'll do the same thing for the woman in the bush of the blood. He'll do it for you. He'll do it with the same man who was lowered through the ceiling and was called to be cleansed by faith. He'll do it for you. Am I talking to anybody? God is the same yesterday and is today. God will cleanse you whatever it is in your life. If you lack in anything that you don't seem like you can come through, God said, I dare you to try me. He puts a threat out against you in the book of Malachi 3. He said, test me and see when I open up the windows of heaven. It just ain't dealing with finances. God would give you favor. When God gives you favor in man, I'm telling you, everything you open your mouth to is irrevocable. God would not let you down. But the Bible said, to him that believe. John 4:24 says, we got to talk to spirits. Spirits talk to spirits. If you right with Christ, then the Holy Ghost will speak to you. It will lead you. It will take your mind out of the equation. Am I talking to somebody? He will take you out of the equation so fast, and he'll put a Proverbs 3:5 in your mind so quick, he'll put a GP system on you that you can't release. He said, lean not to your own understanding, but you got the knowledge of God in all your, the direction, I'll give you straight. Wide is the path, narrow is the gate. You can get in the wide if you want to, but I got a narrow gate over here that'll make you go straight. I got a pipeline for to lead you straight to the kingdom. He began to speak to Peter, and he said that Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's who gave it to him. Why? Because he was in the Spirit. You go over to John 4:24, it'll tell you. Right there in John 4:24, God is a spirit. And he's a spirit. And those who worship him should worship him in spirit and in truth. I don't know where you are this afternoon. I don't know where you're going to, but I'm glad you tuned in. I don't know if I can be any help to you. Because just like I say, all I am is just a prophet to bring a word. All I'm designed according to be Amos 3:7. The word has got to come through the land. But God has given me the ability. Am I anointed? Oh, yes, I'm anointed. You know, I got grace. God has given me grace. So I got power. I got power. I don't brag on myself. I brag on the one who gave me. That way I got the ability to speak the things that God has given me to speak. In no Bibles, God gives a word. And he makes it very clear before we go off into our actual salvational call. And I want to take some calls here from those who want to speak. But I want to take you somewhere first of all. I want you to go to the book of Ephesians. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read something to you. I got you to understand something. It don't care what your life is and what you used to be. Don't let people hold nothing over your head. Please don't let people hold nothing over your head. Don't let people, when God says it's through in the sea of forgiveness and he forgot it and he remembered no more, look, don't let people come in your face with a special kind of scuba gear. Go down in that sea of forgiveness, dig up something and bring it back to you. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. Says over here in Ephesians 2. Y'all got Ephesians 2. Look at what it says in Ephesians 2. And you have quickened, and who are dead in your trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according, come on somebody, to the course of the world. Stop right there. Back in the days when I used to go out in the streets and do things, give me two Heineken's and governor's side of Tangeray. I'm ready. Am I talking to somebody? Don't set up on it like you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all don't know him worship. But God ain't looking at how big your sin is. He just said, he better give you for your sin. Am I speaking to somebody? He said, when you walk the course of the world, when you done the things you know you weren't supposed to do, you was out there doing stuff you know you had no business doing. And also you wonder, even in your mind play with you right now. Did God ever forgive me for whatever it was that I done? He got to say, I forgive you if you honestly repent. Because I knew before I formed you, I knew you were going to get out there. But the Bible said, train a child up in the way it should go. And when he get old, he won't depart the path. We all used to walk the course of the world according to the prince of the power. We love the world. We love the sugar finger pop, the dancing, the drinking. We love everything. Don't be talking about you don't understand what I'm talking about, because I'm talking to somebody this afternoon. And of the air of the spirit that now working in the children of disobedience. Am I talking to somebody? There's people who have not received Christ, who are still out there doing things that they know not to be done. God called them the children of disobedience. Why are they the children of disobedience? Because they have not came up with the confession to believe that God can bring them out of whatever it is that they in. Because they're stuck. And even if the word come to them, they hadn't received it like they should. And even though they know it, but God doesn't say, he said, it's bad for you to know, but then don't do. That's really bad. But he goes on and says, among who also all had our conversations in time past. Did anybody have any spicy language back then? I know I did. Because I talked to somebody. Our conversations in times past. Talked about things we would do with certain people. Talked about things and things we would go that nobody knew we were supposed to go. And we wonder if anybody saw us. Am I talking to anybody? Who among us who had our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh. Listen to me. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Am I speaking to anybody? In the mind and were by nature's children of wrath. Even on us others. We all was messed up. But as a remedy, am I teaching somebody? It's a remedy. And let me tell you something. The building can, bricks and mortar can never save you. People go in the church and get excited about a man behind the pulpit and got no revelation about who they are. You already lost yourself. Because the word of God says that man up there in that building cannot go to heaven. Jesus declared the word in Matthew 13. He said every one of these stones going to fall. And every one, not one be left on top of other. You will go to heaven, and guess what? That brick will still be standing here. But if you go to heaven without having a decision of God in your life and knowing where you need to go, you're going to miss it. Some people going to church right in, some people going to hell right in the church. They know the word of God, but they're not living the word of God. Am I talking to somebody? You got to understand that when we come forth with the word of salvation, it's not for us. It goes straight through us that it may reveal to us. It culminates in our body. Every time we talk about salvation, we're talking about ourselves. Because you can't get saved and receive salvation enough. The word of God declares the creed, God loves you. Sin separated you from people. Am I speaking this right? Sin separated people from God. Let me phrase that. Sin separated people from God. Jesus died for what your sins. Jesus went on the cross. The Messiah, the Immaculate Conception, he went on the cross and slid the credit card and canceled out everything. And just when the enemy thought he had him, Jesus got off the cross, went down there and kicked the bottom up out of hell and released all the captives. And everybody who didn't have a chance to be delivered from the times past, when you look at the book of Hebrews, it talks about the ones who are faith people. Now, let me say something about the book of Hebrews. It's the faith chapter, the 11th chapter. But these people did not get in the Bible because of what they did, but they said. They got in the Bible because of what they did. They performed the things they did. This is the way they got in the Bible. This is the way their name got known. This is the way their blood, their name was written in this book because of what they did. It wasn't because of what they said, it's what they did. Jesus died for your sins. You can receive Jesus now, as you can receive Christ now and know that God loves you. The Bible declares the word of God, and everybody who's listening, I don't know who you are, but I believe you confess with your mouth. You may have got saved 3 months ago, and you may still be going out doing things you ought not to be done. The word of God says like this, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that he went to the cross, and he said, it's in your mouth. I don't know who you are and what you're dealing with tonight. The lines are full, and I don't know. If you call into this line, you want to get prayed for, you want to receive Christ, if there's anything you need to have broken off of you, God got the power to break the back of lack on everything that you're dealing with. The number for you to call in is 347-637-1074. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what they done told you. If you can believe that all things and everything is possible through the Immaculate Conception, you can be free. And then when you get it, then walk free in it. Now, now anybody say you're going to change overnight. It's just like a person who's on drugs. It's a one-step program, but they still have what you call backlash, drags, that they still won't. This is why you got to get around that person and keep encouraging them. The number is open for you. Those of you coming by the Internet, you can go to www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. Go to scheduling information. Go down to the through the scheduling information, and then you hit the Power of the Harvest radio station, and that'll bring you right into the station. You can type into the computer. You ain't got to call in, and I can receive your word of prayer. That whatever you need in your life, or you can call in, as I said, The number to call in is 347-637-1074. And when you call in, all you got to do is push that little number one button. Say, Pastor Ellis, look, pray for me. That's some things I'm dealing with that people don't know about. That's some hidden secrets in my life that I ain't never told now man about, now woman about, that I'm dealing with, and I don't know how to come out of it. God said, it don't matter what it is. I don't care if you're so far down. So I say this all the time. If it's a hole in the ground, if you're in a mine, and you ain't got no light, now God said, I'll bring the word down to you. I'll bring it down to where you are. That wherever you're dealing with, I'm going to tell you, through the power of God, I can bring you out. Through my word. It's the word that made you clean. Remember what it said in John 15:3. The word, you'll be cleansed by the word. Now, before we go into this call about salvation, is there anybody, I don't care who you are and what part of the country, is there anybody that's on this line? All you got to do is push that little tattletale button, number one. It'll light you up. And all you have to say, Pastor Ellis, look, pray for me. I've been dealing with some things in my life. I've been double-minded. I don't know which way I'm going. Sometimes up look down and right look wrong. Sometimes I can't tell a spade from a spade. I don't know which way I'm walking. But when I seem like I want to do right, it seems to be wrong. What can I do to come out of whatever it is that I'm in? So it's your choice. Salvation is offered to you right here, right now. You ain't got to go in front of a group of people, get in front of a big auditorium, and somebody lay their hands on you. No, you can receive Christ now. But it's about your belief. Now, as we go into this word, I see nobody's really lying, but that's fine. I'm going to take the claim. I'm going to stand in the gap for everybody on the line. Excuse me. I'm going to stand in the gap for everybody on the line. But before I go into the word of salvation, I'm going to turn it over in the hands of co-pastor Patty Ellis. And the next word you hear, we're going to be speaking about the salvation call. And for those of you who want to be in on the salvation call, it's all you got to do is push it. You ain't got to see me. Just push that number one on your button, and it'll bring you into the studio. Go, Pastor Pat.
That's what I encourage all of you to whether you're calling in or you're there just listening, that you bring yourself over to salvation. That God, we've been talking about God, our Heavenly Father, and how our Heavenly Father can do anything. It doesn't matter where you've been in life, what you've done in life, where you may even currently be. That God can make a 360 turn. You know, he can change your life if you let him. He can continue just to work in your life if you let him. But you, when you're living for Christ, you have to become humble. You have to come before him, and you have to be willing. That's all he wants. He wants just somebody who's willing. Because that's what makes us a servant. All the scriptures are telling us that. Imagine that you hear, when you're wanting to live for Christ, and you're wanting to have God come into your life, but you're listening to all the other voices that are around you, and you're looking at TV, and looking at the social media, and you're seeing how everybody else is having such a good time. When we're looking on Facebook, when you look at Facebook, it's all that people make themselves look good. They put their best foot forward, and that's what we're getting ourselves stuck in. We're getting ourselves stuck in other people. When we shouldn't be looking at other people, but looking towards our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Because the Heavenly Father is the one that changes your life. The Heavenly Father is the one that can take something out of nothing.
Amen.
Just continue to let the Lord work with you.
Amen.
Come to the Lord. Come to salvation, because we do not know what tomorrow may bring, where tomorrow even is going to bring anything.
It ain't promised.
It's not promised.
Amen.
And I'm going to turn
Amen.
It over to the pastor and just continue just to let the Lord work with your heart. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, we're going to go into the salvation, but I want to say a little something here before, as our time begins to go close. If you ever read the story about Saul, Saul was a man who wasn't a king, but the people wanted him to be a king. Now, listen to what I'm saying. I want you to hear this real good. Saul was appointed to be a king, but he wasn't a God-sent king. Read the story. Study it. Saul was a man who was very disobedient. Every time God had him, the prophet Samuel came to him time and time over again, gave him a word, what he should do and how he should do it. And every time he gave, Samuel gave him a word, Saul half did it. And Samuel forgave him. The day that God came and he spoke to the prophet, he said, I want you to go anoint the new king of Israel. He's talking about David. I want you to go to Jephthah's house. I want you to get all the mighty men of valor together. And the Jephthah went through every one of the men. Now notice, Saul's still on the throne, on the physical point. But the day that God told the prophet that Samuel was denounced, that's the day the spirit left him. Now you got to catch this. He was still on the throne. He had to look like a king. But God had already took the spirit from him. God said, this day the spirit has been taken from you. And he said, I want you to go to Jephthah's house. I want you to anoint this young man, David. He went to the house, to all the mighty men of valor. He went to every one of them. Nobody was there. All of them broad and looked good. Every one of them had it, whatever it takes. They probably choke the tongue out of a lion and kill a bear quiet time. But God said, it ain't them. He asked the man of God, is there one more son? He said, I got one flock of the sheep. Remember, Saul, he don't understand that he already been denounced in the spirit. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, you already catch this. You got to hear this one. He had already been denounced in the spirit, but he was still standing on the throne. He had a look as if he was still king, but God had already declared and took the spirit from him and began to usher to somebody else. When he went out to the field, and the Lord said, take your flask of oil and go anoint this young man to be the next king. The first thing Samuel did, he looked upon David's little scrawny body, and he looked at David. He said, no, you talking about this young boy? Did he got what it take? God said, well, I don't look at man the way men look at man. I look at the heart. Am I talking to somebody? That even though when people look at you, it don't look like you going nowhere, it don't look like you got what it take to get an overflow of the kingdom, don't worry. All those who are up over the top of you that's looking down on you, don't worry. You will see them coming down. Ah, Jesus. You're on your way up, you will see them when they come down. All the ones who have been taking advantage of you, dogging you out, talking about you, putting you down, don't think you got what it takes. Oh, you as you go up, you'll see them coming down. But what am I saying? Saul had already, David had already been governed king. In his hobo clothes, in his sheep clothes. He had already been governed king in his sheep clothes. In other words, he would look at the raggedy as anybody else, but God already announced him in the spirit. Oh, my God. When you look at people and you pass by them and you don't see where they're going, don't worry. Keep on watching. Just like this ministry, it don't look like we're going nowhere. But keep watching and see what it's going to take. Do we got the nicest building? No. Do we got all the amenities that all these other ministers? Now, I ain't knocking nobody. But when God, just like he raised them up, he'll do it for this one. Now, that ain't what we're looking for. Our job is to get the souls together. As we get souls, the kingdom going to grow. And the Bible says, I give you everything you need. And even though David was announced king in his sheep clothes, Saul had already been announced in the spirit. He had a look of a king, but God had already took the anointing off him. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know who you are. As I said before, the number to call in tonight is 347-637-1074. Those who are coming by internet is harvestnewlifechurch.com. You can type your request in, or you don't have to. But we got to go. But I'm going to show you something. When the Word of God said that God loves you, that sin separated you from God, Jesus died for your sins, and you can receive Jesus now, and God loves you, you all want to take advantage of it, because you can't receive salvation more than once. You can see many a time, you can a million times as you want to. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Listen to me. Those of you on the line now, I want you to preach this after me. I want you to preach this after me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins, and I open my heart to let Jesus come inside of me. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. Oh, I feel the Spirit in this one. I believe you died for my sins, and you were raised from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Look here, that's small as it is. Let me show you something. if you are true to God's word, you must direct sinners to Christ and not to the aisles of the church. Am I talking to somebody? It ain't the building that's going to save them. The message of God's preachers are filled with invitations, and all men and everywhere are unable to be saved. All men. Those of you who want to call us on tonight and get a hold of me on a personal note, you can do that. Area code 214-870-2146. Father God, we thank you for the show in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you for everyone who came on the line to receive that which you have in store for them. Father God, we break the block of every problem that's in the life of every individual. We declare, we decree by the power of God and by the power of the Spirit that even as they go forth, Father God, we ask you to touch them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let the power of your Spirit begin to move upon them in such a way that they never had to move before. Lord, give them vision and dreams in the name of Jesus. Father God, go into their households. Let your Spirit beginning to move, Father God. Let it seek up and down. Let it bind the strong man in the name of Jesus. When the tall stops the strong man, Father God, bring new life, new furniture into their life, which is the power of God's word. Lord, furnish them with everything they need according to the Spirit, that they may move according to the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, bless them like dew, Father God. Let them, everywhere their feet begin to tread, Father God, give them favor in the name of Jesus. Everywhere their eyes can see, Father God, give it to them in the name of Jesus. If it got to do with health, if it got to do with strength, whatever they have in their body, whatever it may be, Father God, move by your Spirit, move by your power, move by your glory. Lord, bless them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Lord, give them everything they need according to the kingdom. Father God, I'm going to bless every mother, including my mother. Lord, look upon her in the name of Jesus. Let the power of your Spirit begin to surround her bed in the name of Jesus. Let the four-fold power of the angels, let the four wings of the cherubims begin to come upon this woman, God, and fan her with healing power in the name of Jesus. Every other mother that's going through a proclivity in their life, going through a sickness like, Father God, raise them up in the name of Jesus. Let them receive and grab the power of the Holy Spirit, that even when they begin to go forth, Father God, you will show them that you are God and you should not lie, that you're not a son of a man, that you should have to repent. Father God, I'm asking you to heal your people right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I decree this word. I declare this word. I call it to come forth. I know it will not go back void, but it will have the power to accomplish all that in therein. These things I'm asking, not of myself, but through the power of the Most High God, I call it been done. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. Well, once again, this is Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas. Those of you who are tuned in and staying with the Word of God, we thank you for tuning in with us. Remember, come and be with us again on Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock as we bring forth the Word of God. And the number to call in if you want to be a part of the show is 347-637-1074. For those of you who need prayer, you can go to our Harvest Night website, and you can go to the part that says prayer request, and you can go to that part and type in your prayer request and send it to Charles and co-pastor Patty Ellis. For now, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for joining the show, and we pray that God will continue to bless you. We're going to leave you with this word, and we thank God for you.